following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good morning, everyone. Live from Lambeau Field, Tom Silverstein and I are here for you because the Green Bay Packers are headed to the NFC Championship game, first time since 2016, also the last time they made the playoffs, first time for Matt LaFleur, one of a handful for Aaron Rodgers, 28-23 victory Sunday over the Seattle Seahawks, Tom. And I'm going to start with, this felt like every other Packers victory this year, especially early, middle of the season, get out to a big lead, play with multiple scores, and hang on for dear life at the end.
Yeah, it was typical, and why shouldn't it be? You know, what's going to change with them over the course? You know, at this point in the season, it's not going to change. This is who they are, and their identity is sealed. You know, if they come out and have a 56-point game against the 49ers in the NFC Championship game, I'll eat my hat. But no, this is the kind of game they're going to win. I don't think you could expect anything else.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers kind of said it earlier in the week, you know, he was talking about the offense in general, like, we are what we are. But I think you could say that about the team. And to look, they looked really good early. You know, 21 first half points, 21-3 lead. Seahawks score, make it 21-10. They come right back. You know, and then after that is when they hit the skids. But I guess we'll start maybe early, Tom, when it seemed like the tone set was going to be what we theorized maybe on the podcast, if you listen to this last week. Aaron Rodgers to Davante Adams. That would be it for the passing game early. And then Aaron Jones, 21 carries. It wasn't great, but they at least stuck with it.
Well, we talked a little bit about tight ends, because we saw what Philadelphia had done. And lo and behold, you know, I mean, we kind of talked about Jimmy Graham and that he would have to come up if they were going to do something with this tight ends against that cover three defense. And lo and behold, three catches for 49 yards, including, you know, a couple of really key clutch catches.
Yeah, third and nine, especially at the end of the game. The weird double review, Tom, I don't know if I'd ever heard of that. It was like Zapruder was somewhere in Lambeau Field after.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that clinched the game. That first down gave them the chance to kneel it out. You know, it was interesting. Aaron Rodgers said it was like Detroit. He felt that the ball was coming out of his hand really well. Geronimo Allison said he was hot. Davante Adams said, hey, that's Aaron just being Aaron. What's interesting about that, though, Tom, is if you take the satellite view, under 60% completions, you know, a career playoff low in completions with 16, tied for a low, a low in attempts at 27, tied for a low with 16. The yards, 243, kind of eh. I mean, the rating was great because of two touchdowns. So how did you think? But it was one of his better games of the year, better games in the last month.
Well, what stands out to me is the yards per attempt. He was almost at 10, which means you're hitting a lot of the deep balls they didn't hit against Detroit. And you saw it with Adams. You know, a lot of it, there were a lot of yards after the catch with Davante Adams. But they worked the ball down the field. And Jimmy Graham had a 27-yarder. That's what stood out to me about his day, was that when he did hit, he hit big.
Yeah.
And in this game, that was enough. They didn't need to have to dink and dunk it all over the place, although it probably would have helped eat some of the clock up in the second half.
Yeah, that was – and what's interesting, though, I think it was more catch and run. Unlike Detroit, where it looked like they were trying to get the yards through the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of Davante Adams' catch and runs were in front of the safeties. I thought Matt LaFleur did a great job with getting Adams in spots where it was McDougald or you know, and I'm forgetting their names, the Hill kid, where a safety on Devontae Adams is not a matchup for the defense, and yet that you saw that guy in trail a lot of times. Jimmy, you know, Geronimo Allison kind of had a smile on his face when he said that they schemed up plays just for Jimmy because they thought there were some matchups there. And on that third and nine, it was this really nice mirror route where, you know, the safety Hill got lost, kind of trailed off with Allison. Jimmy Graham's right open. I don't know. I thought they found maybe a happy medium there instead of trying to go way deep over the top. It was shorter throws that gave them.
Well, and here's the thing. With a cover three defense, it's hard to get over the top because that safety plays deep. But there's all these angles that you can get in between the corners and the safety. But then you have to get it over the linebacker's head. And, you know, the one to Jimmy Graham down the seam,
Roger, was over KJ Wright, perfect. Yeah.
I mean, that was right over was it
KJ Wright.
Yeah, KJ Wright's head and right into Jimmy Graham's hands. Adams got one-on-one with Shaquille Griffin and got a PI and a big catch early. And then he got the corner route, which was, you know, those corner routes are what you need against that cover three defense. And the corners are usually trying to not let you have that route. But Devontae Adams is so good with his crossover moves that, you know, it looks like he's going to the post and everybody's breaks that way. And the next thing you know, he's going to the corner.
Yeah, it was a route running exhibition by Devontae Adams.
It really was, yeah.
You know, his 40-yard touchdown. I think I sent out the note that there's a set of ankles buried now at Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the kid, but for Seattle. But that was, you know, and even Rodgers said, he's like, I kind of threw a bad ball. But he was so wide open that it didn't really matter.
Yeah, it really didn't matter. So I thought it was definitely an improvement for Rodgers from Detroit, and he's going to have to. This is what I think about this entire game. So, you know, they did just enough offensively, you know, to build on some stuff. They threw the ball pretty well. Aaron Jones never got going, but he got 21 carries, and that's the most important thing.
It is, without a doubt, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I mean, they maintain that threat.
And then on defense, I'm telling you, Russell Wilson was, you know, I compared him to LeBron James, you know, or Anthony Davis, who was in the stadium today wearing an Aaron Rodgers jersey. But really, I mean, he was a magician. And the guy throws for 277 yards and then runs for 64, and he's just impossible to corral, and he puts defenders in such bad positions where he's running and then the linebacker comes at him and he jumps, dumps it over the guy's head. Or if the linebacker doesn't run at him, then he just runs. And I think that was really something that the Packers, they finally faced, their defense finally faced an elite quarterback, and they survived the test. And I think that's a good omen for them going into the 49ers. They have to play out of their comfort zone. They have to play zone the whole game because you got to keep your eyes on Russell Wilson. And they kind of have to manufacture to win that game. And that's got to give them some confidence going into San Francisco.
Yeah, without a doubt. And before, there's an element of the defense I want to touch on here. But before we do, make sure you get to Potawatomi Hotel Casino. Thursdays this month, play Battle Windball Game Show to win $5,000 in cash. To earn entries, just play your favorite games using your club card. Learn more at taysbig.com/windball. You mentioned, you know, the zone and trying to keep your eyes on the quarterback. I thought, you know, Tyler Lockett, it seemed like the Packers secondary almost made a pick your poison to a degree. DK Metcalf was a total non-factor. 4 catches, 59 yards, but half came on one ball early. I mean, Lockett was the slippery guy, you know, and you know, Kevin King got hit, I think, for that 24-yarder. But for the most part, I thought the corners and the secondary played well enough that Russell Wilson had to run around and had to do what he had to do with his legs. Where you mentioned San Francisco, I thought that at times was their Achilles heel. When the rush didn't quite get there, you would find these chunks, you know, in that secondary, either in the middle of the field or maybe deep. And I thought they did a really good job of keeping the lid on it, so to speak.
Yeah, they had to plaster wide receivers. Remember Pettine said during the week that this is the most running they're going to have to do, and it was true. You know, Darnell Savage said, you know, he wasn't even aware that Preston Smith got that big sack. All he heard was the crowd because he's running with some guy across the field, up and down the field, some guy trying to get open. And that's not easy to do. You can't plaster guys forever. But they did not let anybody get behind them. There was not one ball. The only time, I guess you could say, that was on a blitz and they beat Jair Alexander down the sideline, I think Lockett did. But that's because they blitzed a safety off that side. Excuse me. And, you know, I just thought that was the game plan. Do not let them beat you deep. And they're gonna get some completions over the middle. And ultimately, they did what they do every game, which is get a key stop, keep you from getting in the end zone, and keep a team to, you know, right around 20 points.
Yeah, this is, again, a formula on defense that we have seen. And, you know, I guess until they do it, you have to leave the wiggle, the doubt that they can't. But when Preston Smith got hurt, and he said after the game, he's like, well, no, it was a real injury, but I'm not going to tell you what it was. So he was waiting. He missed like four or five plays, came back in for that third down. And that, I mean, I don't know right now how many of his sacks are third down this year. But it was not a surprise, I guess, that you saw 91 end the Seahawks season with a third down sack. Because it's just sort of what he's done. Now, Za'Darius Smith was very good early. I thought Kenny Clark was very good early. Dean Lowry, Kingsley Kiki, I think should get a lot of credit for Z Smith's sacks, to be honest. So you wrote about it in Five Things, how that defensive front needed to kind of take advantage of things. And for as much as Russell Wilson had to run around, they did, what, they sacked him five times. And made him run on many occasions.
Yeah. You know what's absolutely amazing is that they sacked him five times for minus 12 yards.
That's insane.
I mean, I think they had two sacks of 0 yards. Yeah. He just does not let you lose a ton of yards, or he wouldn't today.
Right.
If you were going to sack him, it was going to be while he was running forward, you know, trying to run for a first down. And it was remarkable. I have a newfound, absolutely am enamored with his game and what he did today. It was just really impressive.
Yeah, and you know, fortunately for the Packers, you know, Marshawn Lynch in the run game, I mean, they averaged 4 yards a carry, 110 yards on the ground. But again, as you mentioned, 64 comes from Russell Wilson. Marshawn Lynch, 12 for 26, two a pop.
Yeah, you know, their run game is god-awful. The San Francisco game will be different. Yeah. You know, they have to stop that running game. But their run defense has been playing pretty good of late. You know, they didn't have to face Dalvin Cook, and they did give up some yards against Detroit. But I don't think, you know, the days of 60-yard runs are kind of gone. And it'll be a good test against the 49ers.
Yeah, and obviously we'll break down that NFC Championship game in full midweek. Mm-hmm. You know, my game ball, Tom, went to Jared Veltier. And my insider, he's a guy who he said he found out on television that he was going to start. All of Elgton Jenkins, Corey Linsley, I believe Aaron Rodgers all said that when Brian Bulaga came to warm up, they're like, oh, he's not going to be able to go. So what was, I mean, you wrote about it this weekend with Clowney coming into town, how, you know, David Bakhtiari was getting healthy. Bulaga, seven guys were sick this week. He came down with it today, or Sunday, along with Alex Light. And the fact that they made him active and then he still couldn't go. They played with 45 guys. Mm-hmm. And Jared Veld here 2 weeks in a row now, Tom. I mean, look, Brian Gutekunst has made some good moves, obviously dating back to free agency. Chandon Sullivan you can throw in there as a under-the-radar pickup in May, but he got a 10-year tackle who's mm-hmm. now essentially played.
Who has bailed him out of two games, you know? And, you know, if Bulaga could have gone, he would have played.
Right.
We know that for sure. And Clowney was hurting, so they got kind of a break there. Clowney got him, I think, once earlier.
And they gave him help. They gave him help.
Yeah. And Turner was off again. His pass blocking's not been very good. But for the most part, Rodgers was not under duress.
No.
Usually when he had to scramble, it was because no one was open. There were a couple times early where he got hit or there was pressure right up the middle. Some stunts. They did not handle some stunts very well. But, you know, you assume that when Bulaga comes back, which you assume he will for San Francisco, their offensive line is in way better shape than it was when they went out to San Francisco the last time.
Yeah, especially that was Alex Light, if you guys remember, filling in for Brian Bulaga most of that game in San Francisco. You know, we'll keep an eye on Billy Turner's ankle. It seemed like he was kind of fighting through that throughout the game. You know, but health, what Preston Smith came out, went in. Darnell Savage Jr. out, came back in. I didn't really see Alan Lazard never re-entered the game, although he did come back to the sideline for the second half.
He did. I saw him running out of the locker room, and then he ran along the sideline, but he must not have been quite right.
Yeah. And maybe
finished
they
with no catches.
Yeah. You know? And the receivers as a whole, you know, we mentioned Devontae Adams' day, record-setting day, 160 yards, break Jermichael Finley's club playoff record. Jonnell Ellison, one catch, one target, key first down. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, one catch, one target. Jay Kumerow, one target. They didn't really spread it around. I mean, only 16 completions, half went to 17. So, but, you know, Jonnell Ellison said, hey, this is kind of – one, he said, Devontae Adams, he said they knew during the week it was going to be one of those games, the other receivers. And he says this is kind of what they are at this point.
Yeah, it is. You know, they're going to have certain games like this, and then they're going to have games like next week where San Francisco has a really good secondary, and you're going to have to scheme some guys to get open. It's not just going to be Devontae Adams breaking some guy down because, you know, they're going to double cover him. They're going to take him out. And
which can't be done if people are incredulous. Michael, say hello to Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, they're just going to do what they can, and then the Packers are going to have to get something out of Jimmy Graham again. They got to get something out of Tanyan or Sternberger and Allison. You know, he's got to show up.
So there was, you mentioned the two young tight ends, Tom. That was something I thought it didn't pay many dividends in the past game, but Tanyan and Sternberger played way more than they have. Robert Tonyan, they actually ran that little toss sweep to Tyler Irvin a couple times around Tonyan, where he sealed off to the outside, David Bakhtiari to the inside. That picked up some yardage. Sternberger was the fill-in fullback for Danny Vitale again. Can we read anything into what that was or what that meant? I mean, Matt LaFleur, I don't think does things by accident anymore. And I'm just sort of curious if maybe there's more for them in the next week.
Maybe. I mean, Sternberger was playing a fullback role a lot.
Yeah.
You know, he lined up in the backfield. He may have just been filling in a role for Graham. I don't know. I just don't know whether they trust those guys enough. They're not throwing to him very much.
Yeah.
One guy I think they have to explore more is Tyler Irvin. There were a couple times they ran that motion where he comes around behind Aaron Rodgers and sort of runs a wheel route, and it's all decoy. But I'll tell you, when they go back and look at the film this week, they're going to go, we need to throw that ball to him because he's wide open, and San Francisco will see that. But I think that's something that they can – everything's – all of Tyler Irvin looks like it's just all deception. And then all of a sudden I was watching him, and he's coming out in, on that wheel route to the other side, and Rodgers is throwing to the left, and there he is. And one of these times they're going to swing it out to him, and he's going to be wide open. So I think that's something they'll be looking at this week.
Yeah, I think on that mentioned routes to look at on that PI that Davante Adams, obviously that works out for them on that particular play. But Robert Tonyan sitting in the middle of the field just sort of wondering, should I order dinner?
Yeah.
It'll probably come down from section 333 by the time. he was wide open as well.
This is a dilemma that I brought up during the live blog, which is, okay, so Davante Adams is hot, and you want to get him the ball, and then you start relying on him. And they had that third down where Rodgers threw into triple coverage to Adams, and I think Irvin was running down the sideline wide open. But you have to take that if you're going to, you know, have all the good with Adams, you're also going to have some plays where you're not looking at the other guys. And I mean, I still think they're a better team when they're balanced, you know? This offense is better when everybody's involved.
Speaking of, I think one guy I thought might be more involved was Jamal Williams. One carry for just 3 yards, one target for one catch for 9 yards. Thought he might have been a little more involved, but clearly we talk about Tyler Irvin, though, only so many backfield snaps to go around. That was, I think, the decision for Matt LaFleur was to get Irvin more involved.
I think also they were focused on getting outside. I think they ran a lot of outside zone, and you know, Jones is just better on that.
Yeah,
they needed some speed to get around the corner, and I think that's why they used him a lot.
Yeah, so it was, you know, Tom, again, another regular Packers victory at this point. I don't quite know what else they can do. This is just sort of who they are, as you said. Their identity is sort of set in stone.
There's a few things that I think, you know. One, they had a better day on third downs, and that's something they got to continue to be good at, or get better at. They were pretty good in ball security. They didn't turn the ball over. You know, they need to force some turnovers, too. Penalties, it's just a weird game for penalties. You know, I thought they let them play. I thought the officials let them play. There were a couple of those, you know, times when guys' helmets came off or guys were tackling around the neck and stuff like that. But I thought for the most part the officials just said, you know, except for the review stuff, let them play.
Right.
You know, so that wasn't bad. Just looking at the defense, Blake Martinez had a pretty good game. I know people are all over him for missing stuff, and he had a blitz. And Russell Wilson came out the other side. But he was all over the place.
Yeah.
He was really, really good. I remember there was one time that Russell Wilson got out of the pocket and he tried to put a move on Martinez, and he just held his ground, you know, and wound up keeping him short of the first down.
Yeah, there was Jair Alexander. In the end, it proved to be big. Unblocked corner blitz on the two-point conversion attempt. A convicted rush. I mean, he did not hesitate at all. which was needed, and he sacked Russell Wilson, and that obviously made a little bit of a difference there. That final drive, instead of trying to get to field goal range, Seattle had to try to score a touchdown, which of course can change play calling and the thought there. And I thought Alexander called for a couple holds that were declined because there were completions elsewhere. Mm-hmm. I thought he had a good game as well.
He was trying to be physical.
Yeah.
He matched with Metcalf early on. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if they called that off or if that was the plan to just start him out that way. But he was in some physical battles. Lockett, too, I think.
Yeah.
It was where there's a lot of pushing and shoving and stuff like that going on.
Yeah, so it'll be, I think, going forward, Tom, this next week, this is more of a defensive game, they kind of held on and made the plays. Again, I think, going into San Francisco, they'll have to be a little better.
Yeah, I mean, San Francisco is physical. They are a physical team. And, boy, they just manhandled Minnesota on the line of scrimmage, which I don't know if that's as great an accomplishment to beat their offensive line, because we know Minnesota's offensive line isn't bad, but they ran the ball right down the Vikings' throat after Richard Sherman had that interception. Yeah. I think they ran it like 8 straight times to the end zone. And that's something the Packers are going to have to load up to do. And then, of course, they have all that play-action stuff.
Right.
We had so much to talk about this week. The LaFleur going against his mentor for a second time. And, having to win on the road in an NFC championship game. I also looked up, a lot of people were wondering how many coaches have taken their teams to the NFC championship game. And there's actually been more rookie coaches,
More than you think.
Yeah, there's been more than you think. Both Harbaugh brothers.
Yeah, I was going to say Jim Harbaugh with 49ers. Yeah.
And John Harbaugh did it right after Belichick. George Seifert did it and won a Super Bowl. Barry Switzer made it to the NFC Championship game. There's someone else I'm forgetting who. Oh, Jim Caldwell did it.
Yeah.
After Tony Dungy retired. And there's a few others. So it's not unprecedented for a first-year coach to do this.
Although people listening to this will say, wait a minute, there seems to be a lot of not a lot of those teams won 7 games a year the year before.
No, some of those teams won a lot of games. But, like, Harbaugh's...
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh's, 49ers,
they were, like, 3-13.
Oh, you're giving Packers fans all kinds of headaches right now. Yeah. They were all happy. Now they're getting to the end of this podcast, and they said, thanks a lot, Tom.
That's a shot of reality, my friends.
Well, what's a reality, Tom? Thursdays in January, battle for $5,000 in cash in Pottawatomie's Battle Win Ball Game Show. Earn entries by playing with your club card all month. Learn more at paysbig.com/winball. And the Packers won. Off to the NFC Championship game. It feels like 2016 was forever ago, but it really wasn't. It's a head coach. It's a scheme. It's a lot of different players since run the table. And obviously the Packers will hope for a much different outcome. Aaron Rodgers, as everyone knows, has not been to a Super Bowl since 2010. Kind of some of that old man do it for Aaron stuff going around in there. Davante Adams, he deserves it. We want to get him there. All that Aaron says this week, I'm thinking about his number 2. It's all about the winning. So
I'm going to tell you that's nice for Davante Adams to say that. But you think he doesn't want to go to a Super Bowl for himself?
Exactly.
Or, Bakhtiari doesn't want to go to a Super Bowl, or Lindsley, or, there's a lot of guys who haven't been to Super Bowls. So I don't think they're going to be rallying around Aaron Rodgers. I think they're going to be rallying around the guys who are like, God, one time I want to go to a Super Bowl, and play in it.
So. Yeah. So it's amazing when you think, we were talking to our colleague Lori Nickel pregame, and it's just amazing how fast time flies. 2010, I'm sure many Packers fans thought, how many NFC championships now is this since then? This is the fourth?
No, they made it in 2014, 2016.
Okay, so the third.
This is the third.
Okay. Yeah, well, we will, of course, be back here at Lambeau Field in the middle of the week to break down this rematch in San Francisco. We will see how the head coach handles all the connection stuff this time around, the schedule. They've lost on the West Coast going out Friday. They've lost on the West Coast going out Saturday. I don't know, Tom. Maybe a little
He's already said he's going Saturday.
Did he say he's going Saturday?
He
did okay.
Say Saturday. He's locked into that. So
wow.
Not going to change.
No. All right. Well,
they better just bring a separate plane for all the sick guys.
I know, right? We'll have to get into that too. Unbelievable. So, here from Lambeau Field, 28-23. Packers beat the Seahawks. One of the few. Actually, both home teams won today after that crazy AFC game in Kansas City, by the way. So, hold serve, last game at Lambeau for 2019, but not for us. We will talk to you in a few days. For Tom, I'm Jim. Talk to you soon.